Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You are listening to the On Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Lieberman, lawyer for entrepreneurs, founder of Hashtag Legal, and your go-to resource for all things legal and business strategy. In my 16 years of practicing law, my clients have come to me with some of the most unexpected questions. You would not believe some of the things that I hear. In this podcast, I will identify and explain the issues in your business where legal and business strategy intersect using real-world experiences and interviews with leading experts. You will get a behind-the-scenes sneak peek into the real-life successes and failures of business owners with my analysis of the things we did right and the things we could do better. So sit back and relax and get ready to learn in the most un-business way possible. Welcome to episode 11 of the Un-Business Podcast. This is it. This is our last interview of the season. And I will tell you, I definitely saved one of my favorite people for last. I've known Belma McCaffrey for a really long time. We've been in some of the same communities. We have fellow friends, and she's just really awesome. She's very, very smart and has really interesting background to talk about negotiation. When I put out my call for negotiation experts and she shot me an email, I was like, oh my gosh, you are perfect for this season. Let me tell you a little bit about Belma so you could see why I was so excited to talk to her. Belma McCaffrey is the CEO and founder of Work Bigger, a career coaching platform for dissatisfied high achievers who want to find their purpose. Through coaching and community, Work Bigger helps individuals connect to their mission and step into their purpose and full potential. Belma's work has been featured in Forbes, Fortune, Thrive, and other media platforms. Belma is also a refugee, a mom, and prior to Work Bigger, she spent 10 plus years working in media and strategy roles at companies like the Associated Press and Condé Nast. Now on to the episode. I am so excited to be joined by you today, Belma. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamie. Really excited to be here.
Me too. I've known you a while. So I was very excited when we were able to connect and I was able to get you on as a guest. Why don't you tell everyone who you are and what it is that you do?
Thank you. So I run a company called Work Bigger, and we work with dissatisfied high achievers who want to find their purpose. And we really help them through that career and leadership journey by first helping them figure out what they want to do. And then we help them work through challenges they may have around confidence or self-doubt so that they can really fully step into their purpose and their full potential.
Oh, I mean, you've just said all the things that people are terrified of when it comes to negotiation.
Yes. I'm excited to chat through that more because negotiation is how actually really how all of this started. And, you know, I'm happy to speak to that a little bit more.
Oh yeah. Tell me, I actually didn't even know this. So I'm going to learn something. How did that work?
I started seeing when I was in business school, you know, Work Bigger was born out of this idea that I saw a lot of my classmates struggling to figure out what they wanted to do with their careers and their lives. But I started to see that negotiation was a big part of that, especially with women. It, you know, when we started Work Bigger, our focus was on women. Now we work with everyone. But I started to see that people really struggled with confidence, with asking for what they want or asking for what they deserve or what they've earned. And, you know, a lot of career struggles are tied into that. So before, you know, we created any programming around finding your purpose, And all of that, all of the career tools that we have, we started with negotiations. So really supporting people with asking for a raise and raising their hands and saying like, this is what I want, and working through the confidence challenges that are present when that's happening.
I think that's so important to acknowledge. And I recently did another interview in another episode with someone else who I think was a little bit earlier on in the negotiation journey. And that was definitely something that we talked about, was before you can even start the negotiation, you have to sort of make your peace with the process of it and how you approach negotiation, your confidence, how you feel about it. So I think that focus on, you know, doing that work from within is really important. You really, I don't think, can be the most effective negotiator until you sort of know who you are and how you want to even approach it.
100%. Yeah. And the internal work is where I love to live, right? We have like the framework and all of that. But yeah, starting with the internal part is, I think, foundational.
So I'd like to explore that a little bit more, because, you know, I've talked about framework, I've talked about all that stuff. And I want to hear your framework too, because I'm always so interested in everybody's. But let's start with the internal stuff. If you're talking with a client or you're coaching somebody and you're coming along the way and maybe they do need to enter into a negotiation, what kinds of questions or what kind of work are you going to do to help them sort of find what they need from within in order to approach that negotiation?
Yes. So one of the first questions I always get is, what should I ask for? Okay, when we're talking about a salary negotiation or even a business deal, like, what should I ask for? And that question is always really interesting to me because it's very external, right? Like, what's the right answer? So the first thing I do is I invite them to really consider what it is they want. And once I invite them to do that, then I kind of see that there's some resistance there. And usually people are really scared to ask for what they want, or even like allow that, right? Like allow that higher salary, allow that as a possibility for them. And then there's the fear of like, oh my God, then I actually have to make that ask. So that's really the first step, just inviting them to look within to figure out like, what is it that you want? And yeah, we start from there. And then that's when we start to like tap into, you know, if there's like any self-doubt or lack of confidence, we can explore that further.
I love that. I call that the like no editing time. So like if someone says to you, what do you want? You have to blurt out the first thing. You don't give yourself that beat to edit it inside, because we all do it. You're just like, I want this. And then somebody else I interviewed said they called it the thing that makes you laugh when you say it.
That.
Which I like that one too, because you say it and you're like, that could never happen. And then you know what? It happens a lot.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. That's a really good marker, right? Or like thing to remember. Like, what is the thing that's going to make me laugh? Or it's going to make me so uncomfortable and I think it's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to know what that is in a negotiation though, because if you don't, you're already, you know, two steps behind. You know, it's so funny when I talk about negotiation, especially when I'm addressing maybe some newer audiences, they're always thinking to themselves like bargaining, right? We're just going in and we're going back and forth. And there's so much that leads up to that bargaining. And oftentimes with a good negotiation, there is no bargaining. It just sort of flows naturally through exchange of information. But that's one of those things you have to, I think, do ahead of time on the strategy side of it, is really like, what's your aim high goal? What do you want? What in the best case scenario are you getting? And yeah, most of the time, what holds it back is our mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally agree.
I love that. So tell me a little bit about your framework and how you approach, you know, once we're in the right, you know, frame of mind, we're ready to go. Like, where are you telling people to go next?
Once they figure out what they want, right, then there's a few things to keep in mind. I like to talk them through their ideal scenario. Like, what is that number that makes you laugh, for example, right? And then what's the lowest you're willing to go? So I think it's really important to have those boundaries in place, right? So that you are essentially like steering your own ship, right? You're not just letting the other person guide where the negotiation is going. You know what you want. You know what your bottom line is. Once you have clarity on those boundaries, it's really important, because then you can say, right, if we're going to go past that boundary, I know this it's not a good fit for me, right? It's not going to work. And I think it's really important to have that. Then I also have them outline their value. Like, what is it that you're bringing to the table? I think this is also really important for tackling that self-doubt or that lack of confidence that comes up, right? So if you have this ideal number and it's making you laugh and you feel so ridiculous about it, like, let's hold up, right? Let's write out all of the things that justify that. What is the value that you add? And I see people struggle with that a lot sometimes, you know. Sometimes people are afraid to brag or to really, it's hard to sometimes see like the value that you create. So I support them through that piece. Sometimes it also means, you know, asking other people at work or, you know, your family or friends to give you that feedback. Once you do that and you're anchored in that value creation piece, then I ask them to think about the other person, right? And to put themselves in the shoes of the other person. Like, what are their boundaries going to be? What do we think their ideal number is or their bottom line is? And what is the value that they're adding or that they're creating that they may bring into that the negotiation conversation with you? I think that part, putting yourself in the shoes of the other person, is really important because ultimately negotiation, I think the more, you know, and it depends on the type, right? But if you're in a negotiation with someone who you're going to have a long-term relationship with, I think that empathy element is really important because you want this outcome to really be beneficial to both of you. So there's that strategy in place, which I think is different than like a one-time negotiation with someone that you're never going to see again.
Yeah, I think that empathy really goes towards a really collaborative negotiation because I really look at negotiation as just like, I'm learning all about you. You're learning all about me. And let's figure out like that middle ground where we're both feeling pretty good because we've sort of met each other's needs and this makes sense for us to move forward. So I like that idea of even trying to put yourself in the person's shoes before you're even sitting and talking to them.
Yes. And you brought up something that triggered a thought for me. I think sometimes when people are afraid to approach a negotiation conversation, it's about coming up with those questions. Like, what are the things that I don't know? So before you even come to the table to make the ask, instead, you're just asking questions and you're trying to understand and you're trying to learn. And that information that you're receiving, I actually think that's the most important place to start. Like, do you have all the information that you need?
Yeah. And also knowing that when you sit down to put yourself in somebody's shoes, you're making assumptions. And so you have to be prepared when you're in that negotiation to let go of those assumptions because you might be wrong. You know, there's only so much we can do to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes that maybe we don't have a long-term relationship with yet, or maybe we're just meeting them for the first time. So we can make certain assumptions, but we also have to be willing to let go of those assumptions when we ask for information.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. The asking questions, I think, makes everybody much more comfortable. It's the easiest way to go into a negotiation is just ask a whole bunch of questions. It takes so much pressure off of you and you get like lots of really good info.
Yes.
That's very cool. So when you're coaching somebody around a negotiation, what are some of the things that you're looking for, like mistakes that you see people make that you see like throughout clients all the time?
Well, as we were talking through the asking questions piece, I started thinking about active listening and how important it is to be an active listener when you're in that negotiation conversation or when you're asking questions. So some mistakes I see people making, right, is just when they're feeling so nervous and so tense that they're in their head and they're not present. And it becomes really difficult to be an active listener and really absorb all the information that's coming to you. The other one that's maybe a little bit more tactical is I see people sometimes revealing their bottom line. I think it's really important to like keep that close to you and not share your bottom line, right? You really want to start off on that with that ideal number and always ask for more than that. You know, that's like my rule of thumb. Like, okay, if I want this much, let me go, you know, 10% more. I think it's really important to challenge ourselves in that way. It's helpful, right? And you just see like the worst that could happen is they could say no.
For sure. You have any tips for active listening? Because I got to tell you, as someone who I try to active listen every single day, it is a huge part of my job as a lawyer is to actively listen. It's hard. I'm the first one to admit it. I have some tips I use, but I'd love to hear what tips you give to clients to help them really hone that skill.
I'm a huge fan of active listening. I'm so glad you brought that up, Jamie. We teach that at Work Bigger too. I think it's practice, like really practicing being present with the other person. Essentially, active listening is about going on someone else's journey with them, right? And really letting them share. And when you feel that sense or like that need to like chime in or whatever it is, right? Or give advice, like just hold back and just observe that in yourself, right? Observe that. And yeah, just let the other person talk, like start there and then practice that. And I think we have so many opportunities to practice that at home, with our families, with our friends, at work, even just for a few minutes a day, and just notice like how you feel when you're doing it.
I feel like anybody who has a child that's under the age of 10 is a really good active listener, because the stories that those children tell to stay connected sometimes can be, it can take effort.
Oh my God. I have a 7-year-old, so I totally get it. He can go on and on and on. And I'm like, wait, you haven't even taken a breath. He's like, take a pause.
Exactly. So that is a really good safe place, and it's going to make your kids feel really good.
Yes. They'll feel seen and heard, and like you're fully there for them and paying attention.
Exactly. So that's where I do all my practicing, is with my two kids. And plus, I'm excited they're even talking to me anymore, because mine are starting to get older and slightly annoyed by me. So anytime they can, but even then, sometimes the stories can go long. So, very good tip. I like the practice tip. Yeah. So I also want to go back to your bottom line, right? Like that's hard. And that's a tactical question, right? When we're coming out with numbers, and sometimes it's not numbers, you know, we can negotiate lots of things. In a business deal, sometimes we're negotiating timing, or we're negotiating staffing. Maybe the numbers are already set, but there's other things that have to be negotiated with. When do you think, if ever, there's a time where you just hit a point and you say, you know what, here's the bottom line, this is all I've got, and this is it?
I think if your circumstances change, then you can either reveal your bottom line, right, or shift what that bottom line is, right? So because I work in the career space, I'll just share like a job search situation for context, right? So let's say you're negotiating a salary with your current employer, right? Or you're negotiating a raise and you have another offer from another company, you naturally have more leverage. So your boundaries, your ideal target number, right, and your bottom line will be different than if you don't have that. Let's say that job offer goes away, so that bottom line might shift, and you may need to share that, or you may need to talk to that. You may need to make concessions, right? So I think the leverage that you have is really important in determining how you navigate these boundaries, this target point, and this like bottom line number.
That's a really good point. And to equate that to the entrepreneurial space, you know, when we've got a waiting list for our services, it's a heck of a lot easier to set strict boundaries. But when you're new, it's harder. You're looking for clients, you need certain things. So the way you negotiate changes, obviously, based on the leverage that you have. So I think it's really clear. I think it's really important to be honest about your circumstances. But at the same time, it is important that you honor that baseline no matter what. And there are certain deal breakers that, for, you know, whoever you are, whether you're an entrepreneur or someone looking for a job, that just no matter what, can't be broken. And you have to honor those too, leverage or not. Because if you don't have those, you don't have leverage.
I think that bottom line thing is just really important for helping you stay grounded in what you want, right? And what's most important to you.
Absolutely. So if you're working with somebody who's sort of brand new to negotiation, and they're just petrified about it, or they're just having some really like kind of roadblocks to it, what are some tips that you would give to somebody to try to overcome that? If, say, they're not able to work with you, or they're just trying to do it on their own, what are some of your best tips for overcoming some of those fears of entering into a high stakes negotiation?
So I'm going to share this tip that my coach actually did with me when I was raising my prices at Work Bigger.
Yeah.
And it's such a great exercise. So what she had me do, and I do this with clients now too, is practice saying out loud that number that you want, right? And then see how you feel, right? So let's say, I don't know, I'm going to make this up. You want to be earning $150,000, right? In salary or whatever it is, right? Just notice how that feels in your body. Like, you'll know when you're like, wait, no, that's not right. Right. And just little by little, like maybe go lower. How do you feel at 130? So you start to really gauge like how comfortable you are and where you can push yourself. You can start to identify what that edge is, and then take the step, like make the ask. I think it's really, and practice, maybe even practice in low stakes situations. Like something I've always had clients do is go negotiate a cup of coffee. I'm sure you've heard that one before. right? Like just practicing.
I haven't. No, tell me that. I want to hear that.
Yeah. Like go to the coffee shop and ask them for $1 off your coffee, right? It feels so weird and uncomfortable. And you're like, that's weird. I don't want to do that. But it's such good practice with putting yourself out there in this low stakes situation. And you're practicing that discomfort. Yeah. So those are like two suggestions. One, practicing the number out loud, see like how you feel physically to really understand where you're at and how you can like where you need to be to push yourself a little bit more, and then practice in low stakes situation.
Does anyone ever get the dollar off the cup of coffee?
Yes. Yes.
That'd be amazing. I need to try that. I've never thought about that. I actually really like that. The low stakes, it does make a significant difference. I'm always negotiating bedtime, I feel.
Yes. Oh my God.
I'm always.
Negotiation with the kids that's a great. Ugh.
They don't feel any hesitation in their bodies about asking more, right? That's a cool framework too, how you feel in your body, because I feel like so much of negotiation, although obviously for the past 2+ years, we haven't really been in person, but you know, another interview I did with somebody else, we were talking about how like viewing the person that you're negotiating with, she works in a very sort of high stakes, like private equity, right? High value deals, just very much. And often the only woman in the room, you know? And so she was talking about how it's not just about what people are saying, but their body language. And I feel like when, and I talk to clients about this too, because I sometimes end up in my legal practice coaching clients about raising rates, because I read contracts and I'll say to them like, your rates are too low. I read all the contracts. I know what everybody's charging. Why are you charging this? You should charge more. And so many of them are like, oh my God, I didn't even realize. I think part of it is when you come out and give a rate, I like your 150, 130, you can't be saying 150, like you're questioning it. You have to come out strongly. But if your body feels like it's rejecting that, your voice is going to reject it too. And the other person's going to know almost immediately and be able to read that.
Yes. I'm thinking like that's where that empathy element comes in, right? Reading the body language, right? And that can work both ways. That can work for you or against you. So if you're making this ask, you really want to, you want to be grounded in that ask. You want to believe that you've earned it and that you deserve it and that like the value is there, right? So I think that's a really, really good point. Yeah.
I like the practice tip. That is such a good one. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many people just need to say it out loud to a mirror. It was kind of like when I started this podcast and I had never done a solo cast before. And I literally just practiced them endlessly for my poor producer who finally was like, I need you to stop doing this to me. But sometimes you just got to practice.
Yes.
Thelma, you have been so helpful and given us such amazing information. Please tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, thank you. You can find us at workbigger.co.co. Yeah, you can subscribe to our newsletter. We, you know, send out negotiation resources and other mindset resources too, in case those are helpful.
Awesome. And I think we have a special link for you for a download that our listeners can get. So we will also drop those in the show notes as well.
Yes, perfect. That is the negotiation framework that we use here at Work Bigger. And it just takes you step by step through a lot of the things that Jamie and I talked about today.
Amazing. Thelma, it is always such a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for having me.
Thank you for listening. We would love if you would subscribe and review this podcast and like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you'd like to get in touch with Jamie, you can email her at info@hashtag-legal.com, all spelled out, or find her on social media on Instagram at #_legal, all spelled out, and YouTube at Jamie Lieberman Rocks. Thanks so much and have an amazing week.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.